This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. Today I have on the show with me Keith McAllister, who's a former executive VP of CNN, which is the largest news gathering organization in the U.S., and he's now CEO of a company called Mochila. And we're going to be talking about, in general today, how the news media is being really impacted by social media, or specifically blogging and bloggers. So welcome to the podcast, Keith.
Thanks, Jennifer. Great to be here.
Thank you. So what, as a former news and executive, how do you see the blogosphere impacting the news business?
Oh, there's a small question. I think it's interesting because I think that the basic actor instinct of journalism is sort of an inclusive one, in the sense that you're trying to find out what's new, what's interesting, and find the edge on it. And so I think, you know, journalism has always been about the search for those things. And I think that, you know, that this business about traditional and emerging media having some kind of conflict was more a misunderstanding in the beginning. I mean, I think what's starting to develop is that there's this very cool kind of ecosystem that's developing, and I borrow that word from Josh Marshall at Talking Points, where there are people across this ecosystem who have different roles and inclinations and resources and all that, and audiences, and I think they're all contributing to each other in a way that's very positive. So I think it's a very good thing.
So what do you think in terms of the challenges that arise from it, though? How do you look at the challenges that potentially this ecosystem working together would often inspire?
You know, there are a lot of layers to that, right? The first one is the one I referenced, which is essentially a cultural one, which is, you know, mainstream media looking at the bloggers and vice versa, and everybody kind of pointing fingers and saying, you know, they're not like us. Which, you know, in the end is not true, actually. They're all in different ways trying to perform the same functions. You know, they just have different styles and different audiences and levels of resources and all that. And so I think it is a good thing that there are all these folks out there who are searching for, you know, new and interesting truth.
Do you think it ultimately expands the power of the news business in a sense that it's bringing in sort of a new group of people that ultimately are just covering it differently, meaning the bloggers, again, I'm referring to?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, the most important thing is that the American public and the world public gets more information and gets better information. So the possible result here is a very good one. The issue is really about, you know, filtering and visibility, right? You know, visibility into who are the folks that are doing the work, and, you know, what are their biases and their goals, and why is the information out like this? And the other piece is the filtering piece, which is both a human editorial effort as well as something that technology can help with. There's just so much information out there. So the question is, you know, what's credible and what's relevant, and how do you organize it for folks, or how do you make it possible for them to organize it for themselves?
So do you see the two worlds as working together?
Absolutely. I think the great example of that, and working together doesn't, by the way, have to be sort of a harmonious thing all the time. I mean, I think, you know, within newsrooms and within the media industry or the journalism industry generally, tension and conflict is a good thing, because it's, you know, it's a creative industry, and the more people are pushing each other and critiquing each other and keeping each other honest and competing with each other, the better it is, right? You know, I think, you know, CNN's better for having had competition. For 17 years, CNN didn't have competition. So it's you know, it's in the world of ideas, competition is a very, very good thing. So I would, you know, I would say that first. So I, you know, go back to Josh Marshall and the Talking Points example and the U.S. Attorney story. There's a story that was, you know, on and off again, kind of treated, covered by the mainstream media over the last, you know, couple, 3 years. And then Josh kind of got that, you know, bone in his teeth, and his team followed the story, and he has an ability to do that, right? He has an ability to focus and to, you know, really latch on to something in a way that a mainstream large commercial operation sometimes is challenged to do. And not only that, but he employed his community to help him. You know, they put thousands of pages of documents up and had the community, you know, help him with the research part of it. And the news that Josh broke, you know, then made its way into mainstream media, and, you know, eventually you now see congressional investigations. So I think that's an example of this working very well.
Is your new company, Mochila, another example potentially of having the two worlds work together?
And that is my great dream. I mean, the trick is creating a level playing field, which we've done, and creating a system in which there's visibility and trust and community. So in the Mochila marketplace, you know, we're an online marketplace for content. You know, the world's largest media companies and the world's smallest all have the same kind of rights and abilities, and they can see each other's work, and they can decide whether or not they want to acquire it or not, and they can decide who they want to sell to and not, and what prices, and all this kind of stuff. So there's just high levels of control and visibility, and in the end, it's a level playing field. And so, in a level playing field, what happens is the best content wins, the most valuable content, and so I think to have created this sort of, you know, merit-based content ecosystem is a very exciting thing, and it's great to see the traction we're getting right now, and the way our users are using the system is exciting.
So talk to me a little bit about that. How are they using it? And again, the listeners here are interested in a general sense, not too much of a down in the weeds. So if you could keep it just as a general sense, that'd be great.
Sure. You know, the media business, the way content moved around the media business traditionally was through subscription deals, where if you were a media company, large or small, you would sign a subscription deal with a supplier of content or a syndicator or some kind of distributor, and you get a big bulk feed of content. And this was the system that's basically been in existence since the Associated Press was formed, you know, 160 years ago. And what that meant was, particularly today, there's this explosion of new and emerging media, both offline and online, is that the small players, they don't need a subscription service. You know, it's too expensive for them in terms of the cost of the content. It's inefficient because they only use little pieces of it. You know, they don't use this whole fire hose that's being sprayed at them. And the distribution technology, mostly satellite, is prohibitively expensive. So what Mochila does, because we're an online ASP model, right? We're a web-based marketplace, is that there is no cost to join. And our technology gives everybody control and a licensing tool set so that we've basically eliminated those barriers. So now any publisher has access to the world's, you know, great content, and they can either buy it, one piece at a time, whatever they need, or they can acquire it in an ad-supported model. So the content's free, and they're making money. So what I see is us really bringing together anybody who is in the content business, whether you're a blogger or whether you're the world's largest newspaper company. You have the same. You wake up in the morning with the same issues. You want to, you know, you're presenting content to an audience, right? You're chasing an idea, and the question is, you know, how do you get great content? How can you afford it? How do you make money with it?
So if you're a blogger and you want to get content off the Mochila network, how does that work exactly?
It's really easy. It's, you know, first of all, it's free. You sign a form, a registration form. And, you know, in an hour, we send you a message back and we say, here's your login and your password and, you know, come on in. And, you know, during that hour or two, what we do is we just make sure that you pass our content policy, which is about hate speech and pornography, and that you're, you know, an actual legitimate, content-based publication, you know, no matter how small you are. So, you know, it's really anybody who's a blogger or a huge company can join quickly and can immediately have access. And then in terms of acquiring content, it's as simple as buying a book on Amazon.
So if you're a company like, here at Podtech, we work with Intel a lot, and they want to use some of the content that's on Mochila, Intel could sign up and then ultimately have syndicated content potentially that they wouldn't have access to otherwise, such as, you know, wire service information or whatever that they could just more or less use
sure.
on their own.
There's two pieces to it. One is that the sellers of content, the content owners, and you know, Mochila has video and text and imagery in the marketplace. The sellers have a tool set that gives them control over who they sell to, which is really important because if you're a big brand content company, you know, you want to make sure that you're not selling to your competitors or you're not, you know, double selling to people you're already doing business with. So with those controls, they can determine, you know, who they're selling content to or who they're distributing it to. They can price it, you know, uniquely. They can do, there's a bunch of features there that helps them control this, you know, what parts of the world it can go to, all this. And they set that tool set. And so now these rules, these business rules, are wrapped around the content. And all this used to be done by human beings before, right? So that's why it was such a slow, cumbersome, and really inefficient process. And that's why so few people had access to content, because it was, you can't scale that because it's people. It's human beings doing that. So we've done that with technology. So that gives content sellers a lot of control. On the flip side, on the side of people who want to buy it or acquire it, what that means is that this content is now available a la carte and on demand. So they can either buy it, you know, one piece at a time, one photo at a time, one article or 10 or whatever you want, whatever you need. And you're only selecting, right, the most relevant content for your audience. So if your blog is about, environmental issues or, you know, hybrid cars or whatever, you just get exactly that. So you can either buy it or you can acquire it for free if you agree to accept advertising with the content. So we have a number of products where you can either grab a single article, and there's an ad inside of it, and there's a three-way revenue share there between the content owner and that web publisher and Mochila. We also have dynamic publishing products where you can come in and you can set a search, right, just like you would on Google, but there's a bunch of filters there. You can say, here's the kind of content I want. Here are the sources I want. Here are the types, you know, video, text, photos, all three. And then we give you some computer code, and you paste that on your website, and then voila, you now have a dynamic presentation of that content on your website.
So back to the original question, in a sense, about the news media and, you know, companies like yours working together. I mean, is this what news media is going to become, in a sense? Is it going to be much more of a sharing of information? For example, bloggers put information into Mochila, and therefore then, you know, CNN goes to Mochila and says, okay, I'm going to use some of this blogging content, so therefore all the content sort of all mixed together.
Well, I think it's about expertise, right? I think it's about, there are always going to be the large aggregators of information content. You know, CNN's one of them, and there's a number of others, and there will always be those guys, but the I think what there also is across the web is there are experts or enthusiasts who are focused on scuba diving in New England or dirt track racing in the Southeast or whatever it is, right? I mean, the web is filled with really interesting expertise, and I think these folks are going to want to have ways to acquire content which is, you know, really relevant to that. So if it's scuba diving in the Northeast, you want to acquire content that your audience is going to get excited by, and it's going to be a very deep and rich experience for people who are on your site. And meanwhile, that web publisher, by the way, has now got a better business. His site is more valuable because there's more relevant content, so he will attract more users. His users will spend more time on that website, and he's making money through the advertising.
Interesting. Well, Keith, this has been very, very intriguing. So I'm going to say thank you very much for the podcast. I've been speaking with Keith McAllister, who's former executive vice president of CNN and now head of Mochila, which is a media marketplace company that, would be interesting to check out. So the website is just www.mochila.com, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Well, Keith, thank you again for being on Marketing Voices.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And to all my listeners out there, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.